Have your way. Breathe on me, O God. Allow my words to be yours. Allow your people to hear from you. Lord, humble us in the presence of your word. We pray this through Christ and through the aid of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to ask you to remember in your prayers the Fowler family. Brother Wayman Fowler lost his wife, Sister Darlene Fowler, and the services are pending. We're also praying for Brother Vinton Bach, who is home. Would you all turn with me in the book of Colossians and meet me at the third chapter? We'll be reading from verses 12 through 17. The words will be on the screen. Our text reads, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. In whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." The word of our God. I want to speak with you from this thought: Christmas clothes. Christmas clothes. Let me just get this off my chest before I say anything else. Y'all know it was an early morning. We came back from Houston this morning around 4 o'clock, and so I'm trying to get my wits together. So y'all forgive me for any mistakes that I've had so far. and any mistakes that I may make in the future. All right, now that I've gotten that out of the way, let me ask you this question. What is Christmas about? What is Christmas? What is Christmas? We find it in the word, right? Christ Mass. Historically speaking, it began as a secular holiday. The church adopted it and broke it into those two phrases, as we would call it, Christmas, right? It is the focus of the Mass or celebration of the Eucharist, which we would call communion. And that is that the body of Christ would come together to celebrate him, and we would lift Christ by coming not only together to celebrate him, but also by sharing the good news. Another way of thinking about Christmas is this Greek word called ekklesia. Y'all say ekklesia. There are two ways of spelling it. You can spell it E-C-C-L-E-S-E. See, I told y'all, forgive me if I make any more mistakes, right? E-C-C-L-E-S-I-A, or you can spell it E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. And basically that word means the church as a whole, ecclesia. And we don't typically use that word as Baptists. We don't think about Christmas or the celebrating of Mass as you would usually hear Catholics say. But instead, we would say Christmas, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. But there is something to be reminded about when we think about Christmas or the coming together as a Mass people and also the church at large. That is that not only are we celebrating as Baptists, but we're celebrating with billions of other people all around the world in unison. Don't tell me there's nothing that we can't come together for. We come together, billions of us, Christians, politicians, judges, lawyers, poor, old, young, all together celebrating Christ as a whole, ecclesia. That is where I would like to pick up from a thought that I told you last at the beginning of this month on the second Sunday, and that is we belong to a larger body. I told you, I brought up the point to you what Advent was and how we kind of observe this liturgical calendar. Well, not only is there a liturgical calendar outlining all of the Christian festivals and holidays, but also there's some other things in that, and that is not are we just supposed to celebrate Christmas? But we celebrate Passover, we celebrate Good Friday, we celebrate Easter, and we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, all of that type of stuff. But it brings us into a larger picture. People all over the world coming together in unison. In this same thought, I kind of pulled our text today from a lectionary reading. Have you ever heard of a lectionary? The lectionary goes and coincides with the liturgical calendar or the Christian calendar. The lectionary basically is a bunch of scripture readings that are outlined every Sunday. It gives people of clergy and also laity a chance to come together and have scriptures that match the holiday. Today, I chose the lectionary reading found in Colossians that outlines a broader picture. You know Colossians, you know Paul, and Paul is generally writing to the larger body, right? He's writing to a church, and in this case, he's writing to the church in Colossae. He writes, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." As Paul is writing to this larger body, this church family, there's something to note before we dive into our text, and I'll be out of your way. I won't be long, I promise. The one thing that we should note is that this is a very young church. This church is brand new. Paul is writing to them to encourage them. He tells them, listen, there are some things that you need to lay down as your spiritual foundation. Ebenezer is not as new. We're older, more established church. We've been here for over 140 years, but I believe that there is still truth to be had from Paul's letter to a new church in the same for an established church. Now, there's another way of saying that. A writer says, the Holy Spirit shows us a local matter that transcends time to minister to spiritual truths. That is, that the Holy Spirit has a way of even looking down thousands of years from when this letter was written to find us and tell us that God is still active, that he can still do the same things, and he still requires the same things as he did from that little small church in Colossae, as he will to us. Not just here at Ebenezer, but the church at large. In chapter 1, he says, listen, there's a lordship that you have to submit yourselves to. That is, you're not supposed to go acting out and doing whatever you want. And not only are you not supposed to do that, but you're also supposed to remember that there is somebody that is giving you direction. And that person that should be given the church direction is Jesus. And then he says in chapter 2, you find this completion in this lordship. Completeness. Don't get filled by things in the world. And then we jump to our text today. We as established Christians should have already taken the time to put off the old self, which is the beginning of chapter 3. Deacon Ellison, I heard you this morning as I passed by. He was doing his Sunday school lesson with some of the other teachers. He said it's a work. It's something that we should be striving and reaching for. And so we get to the body. Lordship, Christ as the head, and then all the rest of it. Verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Christ says, you got some changing to do. And think of it as you wearing clothes. We all wear clothes, right? We're clothed today. And we have on our Christmas best, right? We have a certain way that we dress as Christians. And so he says, listen, you put off the old self. That's what he says from verses 1 through 11. But when we get into verse 12, he says, now that you've put off your old self, there's a new self that you should put on, some new clothes that you should put on. And again, I'm reminding you this, that we as Christians have a way that we're supposed to dress all together as a whole, as a unit, as the Ecclesian church, right? And so the first thing that I would point out to you as Christians in what Paul is saying in verses 12 through 13 is choose your clothes wisely. You cannot put on just any type of clothes. Be choosy in what you wear. Here, Paul tells the church in Colossae that they should, what they should wear. He says the clothes that you should now have on is compassion, humility, kindness, gentleness, and patience. He says the new clothes that you are supposed to put on are listed in a group of five. And then he says, if you choose your clothes wisely, it should begin to shift the way that you interact with one another. He says the way that you should be shifted once you put on new clothes is that you're kinder, you're more tolerant, you are more forgiving. He says this to us, and my question for us this morning is that if we are choosing our clothes wisely, why is it that we talk to each other any type of way? If we are choosing our Christmas clothes wisely, why is it that we treat people any type of way? He says, you need to dress your outer being. But they all amount, if you note, in verses 12 and 13, you'll note that he lists five things we should put on, but it only amounts to two things. It amounts to kindness and forgiveness. It takes five things for you to put on, but you get two things out of it. That means you got to work extra hard. You got to be really careful about the things that you put on. And if you don't have all five of them, you're not going to get the two things. Listen, there are some people in the church, there are some people in the world that you can tell their Christmas clothes because they do not have a heart of those two things. They may have one of them, but they don't have both of them. And it takes all five things. Paul says you must have all five things. You have to have compassion. You have to have humility. You have to have kindness. You have to have gentleness. And you have to have patience. What you wear outwardly says a lot more about your inner than you know. Have you ever been in a position where being nice to somebody astonishes them? I mean, all they do is gripe and complain and talk about people, and then they turn around and do the same thing to you, and they expect for you to get mad. But you turn around and kill them with kindness. Excuse the phrase, but y'all know that phrase, right? You smother them in hospitality. You smother them in love. You smother them in compassion. And Paul says, in order to do that, you need five garments, five layers of clothes. He says, become practically what you already are spiritually. Let me say that again. Become practically what you are spiritually. Okay. The second thing in verse 14 about how you dress spiritually that I want to elicit to you is that make sure your Christmas clothes fit. In just about every clothing store you visit, there's a dressing room. My grandmother would always make me try on everything before she bought it. She'd go look at some pants and then tell me to go try on the pants. She'd say, okay, we need to get you a dress shirt. Go try on the dress shirt. Now, y'all thinking, oh, well, that's common sense, but she would do it over and over at the same visit. And I'm just saying, it's the same shirt size as the rest of the shirts. Well, I got to try all of them on. But, you know, she wanted to make sure that what I wore fit me, even if that meant I had to grow into some of the things that she purchased for me. Now, y'all thinking I'm talking about the clothing store at Ross or Macy's, Nordstrom, or, you know, whatever store you shop at. But we have a dressing room for our faith. We have a dressing room for our faith. We get to try out whether or not the clothes we put on really fits us. Whether those five layers really fit us. Our dressing room in Christianity is called love. And the biggest thing that you want to make sure of is that the clothes you wear fit you. How do you know they fit? If your kindness, if your compassion, if your hospitality, your gentleness, your patience doesn't amount to love, they don't fit you. They don't fit you. And I forgot to tell you, sometimes my grandmother would buy clothes a little bit larger than what I could wear so that I could grow into them. Some of us have been wearing the same old clothes. We've gotten them short on our sleeves. You know, we thought the same patience that we had when we were younger is going to suffice now. But listen, when you go through some stuff, as you get older, you realize you got to have more and more patience. You have to have more and more compassion. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? The same patience that you had with your friend when you was young and they stole your toy is not going to be the same kind of patience you need when you're dealing with somebody at work that you can't stand. Sometimes love requires us to check ourselves. Love is a measuring tool. It is our dressing room to those five layers that Paul talks about. If it doesn't amount to love at the end of the day, you know it doesn't fit. You know it's not working. You got to do something different. And the last thing, and I'm done. Not only should we choose our clothes wisely, not only should we make sure that our Christmas clothes fit, but we got to make sure we dress for the occasion. Right? Verse 15 through 17, we've already established that we're in Christmas season. Now, don't think about it as a day. That may be where some of y'all, I lost you, because y'all are thinking about Christmas in one day. But Christmas is an ongoing thing that we're always supposed to celebrate Christ. We're always supposed to come together in unity. And so the occasion is Christmas all year round, the gathering of God's people to celebrate Christ. But the party doesn't stop on Christmas Day. It extends outwardly into the world. How you dress reflects a lot about the occasion you're attending. Have y'all ever gone, say, to a nice dinner or something, and somebody walked in with shorts on and a t-shirt? Y'all do that a lot more here in Austin than I've been used to. You know, people just walk around and whatever, and they can be a doctor and lawyer. You never know it. And I'm just saying it sometimes seems like people don't address for the occasion. You know, whenever I was growing up, you got dressed to go to your grandmother's house for Christmas. You know, you got dressed for Thanksgiving. You put on nice stuff. Why is it then that we don't put on or dress for the occasion of Christmas? Why is it? Why is it that we're not always striving for peace when the occasion calls for it? Paul says in verses 15 through 17, he shifts it to more of a personal thing. He says, peace should come at all costs. There should be peace no matter what it is that is going on in your life. No matter how bad the argument is, no matter how angry you may be at somebody, no matter what people have done to you, at all costs, the occasion calls for peace. Peace with self first. There's a lot of people walking around trying to give peace to the world and got a troubled soul. Just hateful. Now, I'm going to say it. I mean, just hateful. Don't know how to talk to people. Don't know how to address folks. Don't know how to speak to people. You say anything you want to say, and then you try to make sure you elicit peace. But you don't have peace yourself. And then he says, once it dwells in you, be ready for the occasion to come. There's going to be a moment where we're tested in our faith. There's going to be a moment where peace is not going to always be present. He says, strive for it at all costs. Now, I'm a visual learner. So I brought something with me today. You know, I'm a little salty. Salty means, it's been a while since I've used another term. Salty means shady, you know, sarcastic, whatever, I don't know. Okay, so anyway, so I was a little salty at my grandmother because I lived with my grandmother since I was real young. And my grandmother's a seamstress. She does it as for fun. She sews all kinds of stuff. And I was bothered, Ebenezer, because I lived in that house for, I don't know, over 20 years. And she sewed all of my cousins and all of my aunts and uncles a quilt. But I told her one day, I said, you never sewed me a quilt. So she did. She took all my shirts from high school, and she put them together, and she made a little quilt for me. Now, y'all, we purple Wildcats back home, okay? So that's why. And so she put all my shirts together, and she made me another little throw. She said, put this on your bed, but, you know, we don't do that. You know, you put no throw on your bed, that's kind of old school, but so she made the quilt, and I forgot about the quilt. I put it in my closet. I wrapped it up so, you know, I can maintain the smell, because it was heirloom. And what she did was, you know, she told me that she got a piece of her dress and put it here. She said, this was a piece of your uncle, your late uncle's jersey, and she put it there. And she said, I worked on it for hours. It was very tedious. She said, I paid a price for it. You know, I was tired. My thumbs hurt. You know, it took a lot of work. I had to go back and restart it. But here I am putting this item of clothing, if you would, in the closet. And then I thought about it, Ebenezer. How many times do we put our Christmas clothes in the closet? We pull it out when we want to be sentimental. Say, on Sundays, we pull out our Christmas clothes at Christmas. We pull out our Christmas clothes at Bible study, Sunday school, or Sedum, right? We pull out our clothes whenever it is in our best interest. And then I started to think about it. I'm never going to get the use out of my grandmother's labor if I don't pull it out and use it every day. And I thought about that because I believe that that is what Paul calls for in verse 17. He says, listen, you ought to be thankful that Christ has done something, that he paid a price, and the clothing that you wear, you ought to be able to display it to the world. He says, let the message of Christ in verse 16 dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. This morning, how many of you need to go home and pull out your Christmas clothes? How many of us need to go home and pray? Read our scripture and reevaluate what it is that we should be looking like in Christmas season. Now, remember, it's not just one day. Christmas is all year round. So when I say a season, I'm talking about a long, long time. And there's been some people angry for a long time. There have been people dealing with stuff for a long time. And this morning, Ebenezer, I'm just calling to say, listen, everybody got Christmas clothes. Go home, fluff them up, wash them if you need to, clean them up, and get back into service for Jesus this morning. I'm glad about it because I no longer can hide
that my spiritual garments are made possible by Christ. I'm glad that my attire says that I've been changed. That my mindset has changed. I'm glad this morning that I can smile in people's faces who persecute me and still have peace on the inside. I'm glad that whenever I'm aggravated, all I gotta do is check on my Christmas clothes. My Christmas clothes tells me that because He came into my life, because there's been a change in my life, I'm made anew. I like what the hymn writer says. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have light in my soul for which long I've sought. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy over my soul like sea billows roll. Since Jesus came in my heart, I have ceased from wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart. Yeah. All my sins have been washed away. I possess of a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. And if you have Jesus in your heart this morning, Ebenezer, you ought to show a sign of gratitude. Yeah. If you have Jesus this morning, you ought to put on your Christmas clothes and let somebody know that He's good. Yeah. He's a good God. He's a forgiving Savior. Try out your Christmas clothes this season and see how we become better for it, how the church becomes better for it, how our communities and the world, when Christmas and Christians try on their Christmas clothes. This morning, maybe you're looking for a place to go purchase those Christmas clothes. Well, this morning, I'm glad to let you know we offer those clothes here at Ebenezer. If you would stand with us as we sing together our invitational hymn that we offer Christ to you. If that is you, would you come? Join a body of believers that offer Christ. We
offer Christ to you.
Christmas clothes. I don't know if that message was for you, but it definitely was for me. Sometimes we have to forgive and let go. Sometimes it requires a better outer man, but it starts with the inner man. Church, we can do so much better if we only put on our Christmas clothes. Till we meet.
Till we meet.
God, forgive us for not always wearing the clothes that you have given us, for not always displaying your Son the way that we should. Lord, we ask, O God, that we may leave this place better than what we've come, how we've came. Lord, we ask that you'd continue to touch our congregation, but not just us, the church at large. This message wasn't for Ebenezer. It was for all of us that are dealing with this mindset that the world taught us about Christmas. But it was your Son. You taught us the way that we should live. You taught us the way that we should act. And so, oh God, remind us of that and let us leave different. Well, Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless, that you would continue to watch over, and that you would continue to bring us safely together again through Christ and by the aid of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. May God bless you, Ebenezer. Merry Christmas again to you and your families. And may you all carry the peace of Christ with you in these holidays. God bless you. Please be seated until the ushers dismiss you back row.